Morning, today's daf in Gemara's Chaf Hey. We begin this morning the new parak on Chaf Dalam and Beis with the Mishnah. We're up to the fifth parak of the Masechta and Masechta's Tamura, and we are going to be continuing, obviously, discussing the concepts of Tamura, but our Mishnah here is going to be spending some time in our Sugya today, almost the entirety, is going to be spending a lot of time discussing the Vlados, the offspring of a carbon. Obviously, that's not the discussion of Tamura, and Tamura is going to come back in our parak. Later in the parak, we're going to come back to the topic of Tamura, but Vlados obviously has become a big topic in our Masechta because really what it is, it's similar to Tamura in that it's basically a derivative of a carbon. So you start with the primary carbon, and then you create derivatives. Tamura obviously is a creation of a derivative that the Torah does not want us to do, and the Torah prohibits us from generating a Tamura, but Tamura is really a derivative of a carbon. And so is a Vlad as well. Vlad also is a derivative of a carbon, and it's not the type of derivative, by the way, which is prohibited. And so what we discuss extensively throughout our Masechta is the nature of such a derivative. We are going to revisit this morning the classic machlokas that we saw back on Daf Yud between Rav Yochanan and Bar Pada in terms of how to look at a fetus, whether it's uber yerachimo or uber lav yerachimo. So that's a great discussion that we had earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to get to revisit that discussion again today in today's daf. Let's start with the Mishnah on Chaf Dalam and Beis. Ketzad marim amal habachor. So let's say a person wants to do a harama on a bachor. Now, a harama is basically a legal loophole. Okay, it doesn't necessarily come with it a negative connotation. It could be, by the way, negative, meaning harama, and very often throughout the Gemara and in Halacha, you're going to see the word harama as like a reference to something which is something that legally works, but you shouldn't be involved in such activity because it's not yasher. It's not a straightforward way to go about it. And other areas, like our Mishnah, the word harama over here just does not mean deception. Harama just simply means that this is a legal loophole which is perfectly legitimate and it totally works. Now, what do you want to do over here? You have a regular animal, it's a chulin animal, that's going to give birth for its very first time. And if what comes out is a male, so that male offspring is going to be a bechor. We spent the last masechta, two masechtas ago, discussing this at length. What you would like to do is the following. You would like the animal to be born not to be a bechor. Now, we already learned in the beginning of Masechta Bechoros, the very beginning, on Dav Beis, that there are ways of circumventing that altogether. We're going to touch on that in just a moment in the Gemara. But over here, here's your story. You have an Ola obligation. And so what you'd like to do is the following. What will come out of this animal? I'd like it to assign it not to be a Bechor, but rather to be an Ola. Is there a way to do it? The Mishnah says, sure. Yes, there's a way to do it. Ketzad marim al habachor mevaker shehayisam huber. So let's say it's your animal that is pregnant for the very first time, and it is going to be delivering for the very first time. Omer masha b'meh shelzu. So here's the statement that you make. You're going to be making a hekdesh. You're going to be consecrating the fetus that is going to be born soon enough. And now, back in the day, you did not know what was coming out, whether it was going to be male or female, right? It was a 50-50 guess. And so here you stipulate the following. Im zachar ola. So you say like this. If what comes out is a male animal, I want this animal to have kedushas ola. Now, how can I have Kedusha Sola? Meaning, isn't it going to come out by default, by definition, to be a Bechor? And the answer is yes, but you can preempt it. Because as we've discussed time and again, and we're going to see this a lot in today's daf, Kedusha's Bechor only results at emergence. It does not have the Kedusha's Bechor in utero. In utero, it's a chulin animal. And so therefore, if you can go ahead and give it a Kedusha prior to its emergence, or we can even say to even fine tune a little bit better, meaning it only has kedushas bechor at leida. So even at the moment of emergence, before the head comes out, right? Leida is always going to be defined as the head emerging. So if you at the moment of emergence give it another type of kedusha, you have the right to do so. Now that it has that other kedusha, so there's no longer any room for kedushas bechor to take place in the animal. And so your statement is, and where the Mishnah is going to go over a number of scenarios. If you say Mzachar Ola, that if it's a male, I want to be a carbonola, Yalda Zachar Yikrav Ola. So that means to say now that if what comes out is a male animal, it's going to have Kedusha Zola. V'im Nekeva Zivchei Shlamim. Now, if your statement was that if what comes out is a female, I want it to be a Shlamim, so Yalda Nekeva Tikrav Shlamim. So if what comes out is a female, so then that's going to be a Shlamim. You have to wonder, which the Gemara is going to do, if what comes out is the female, it never was going to have Kedushas Bechor, but Kedushas Bechor is only on the male animal. So over here, you're not putting the Kedusha Shlamim over the Kedushas Bechor or in front of the Kedushas Bechor. There is no Kedushas Bechor. It's a female animal. Okay, so the Gemara is going to make that observation. That was, for me, a foreshadow. Now, let's say your statement goes like this. If it's a male that comes out, I want it to be Karban Ola. If it's a female that comes out, I want it to be Karban Shlamim. And then, lo and behold, you're prophetic. Yalda Zachor Nekeva. Now, in a scenario where this animal, after you made that stipulation, this animal gave birth to twins, and not only that, but one was a male and the other one was a female. So Hazachri Yikrav Olav Anekeva Tikrav Shlamim. So perfect. So you weren't expecting twins, but your stipulation was very clear. If it's male, Ola. If it's female, Shlamim. Comes out twins, one male, one female, good. The male's an Ola, the female's a Shlamim. Yaldash Nezacharim. Now, again, your stipulation was if it comes out male, I want it to be an Ola. So now in your stipulation, so you clearly articulated that one animal is going to be Carbonola. And then what comes out is Shnei Zecharim. Twins again, and both of them are male. So, Echem Ehem Yikrav Ola. So for one of them, it's going to be offered as an Ola because that was your stipulation. If it's a male, so then it's going to be an Ola. Vasheni. But what are you going to do now with that second animal? Now, that second animal, your stipulation, your Tanai was only on one of the animals. On the other hand, there is a second animal over there. Yimakir l'chai ve'ola v'dam avchulin. So what you're going to do is you're going to sell to somebody who is in need of a carbon ola, but its money is going to remain chulin. Rashi over here comments on this case of the Mishnah. Rashi says, Yaldo shnei zecharim al shneim chala kedushas ola. Now, Rashi says that the kedushas ola is going to go on both. Why? Dehakamar im zachar yehe ola. Because you did say that if it's a male, it's going to be an ola. Rashi continues. On the other hand, however, your neder was only going on one. So what the Mishnah is doing, and the way Rashi beautifully explains the Mishnah, is that it's trying to create some sort of in-between, some go-between. On one hand, you said the contents are Ola. On the other hand, you only made a commitment to one animal, not expecting it to be two. Hilkach hu yikrav ha'echad l'nidro. So therefore, your neder really incorporates only one of the animals. Meanwhile, the second animal still has Kedushas Ola. And Rashi continues. That's why the Mishnah says, Habez Yimachlet Sarche Ola V'dam Avchulin. And the second one can be sold to somebody who's in need of Karban Ola. But again, it's not your neder. It's somebody else's neder. And they could just simply give you the money for that. And the money does not have Kedusha. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yaldash Nekevos. So again, his stipulation, remember, his stipulation was, if it is male, so then Ola. If it is female, then Shlamim. What now comes out in this next case in the Mishnah is two females. So again, same story. One of them is going to be offered as your Karma Shlamim because you made a neder on one. And the second animal, which has Kedusha Shlamim, will be sold to somebody who's in need of it. The Mishnah, just give me one second. The Mishnah continues, Yal Datum Tum Manjaganus, Rabbi Shem Gamli Omer, and Kedusha Chalalehem. If the animal gives birth to either tumtum androgynous animals whose gender is either unknown because tumtum, the genitalia area is covered with some sort of membrane, so it's simply not known what whether it's male or female. Androgynous, the animal is demonstrating both male and female genitalia, so there is no kedusha that's chal on them. These are animals that are good disqualified for a carbon, but the Mishnah is saying it more fundamentally. The Mishnah is saying it doesn't even have kedusha altogether. Stay tuned as we're going to be discussing this case in the Mishnah and why it is that the animal does not have any kedusha whatsoever.
Why do you need the case of the two females?
It's just the Mishnah is just covering. Yeah, correct. The Mishnah is just giving us the parallel scenarios of what happens when one emerges male, one emerges female. What if twins, male, female? Twins, both male. Twins, both female. The Mishnah is just very systematic.
You could give it as a gift also.
Yeah, enachinami. In other words, the Mishnah is just simply saying that you don't have to lose on this, but enachinami. Amar Rav Yehuda mutal atam mumba bechor korim shiyatza lavir olam. Okay. The maneuver in which one can avoid the bechor dilemma. What is the bechor dilemma? So we know. But I'm going to say it again. The bechor dilemma is that every single time your animal gives birth for the first time, that animal is by default going to have Kedushas Bechor. And it doesn't matter whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or there's no Beis HaMikdash. Now, if there's a Beis HaMikdash, that's perfect. So then you take it and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, or you, better yet, you give it to the Kohen, who then in turn is going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and offer it as a Karban Bechor. That's great. But Bizman, in a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, which has been now for the last 2,000 years, just short of. So now you have an animal giving birth and it's now going to be born with Kedushas Bechor. And now what? So now you have a problem. And now the only thing that can happen is wait for it to develop organically a blemish. You cannot put a blemish on the animal. And then and only then can you be nechal b'muma, can it be eaten with its blemish. It's still matnas kahuna. It still has to be given to a kohen. Nowadays, of course, we have the problem of which kohen to give it to, who is miyuchas. But anyway, but let's not even get to that point. In other words, the problem, of course, is that you're going to have to let it linger until it naturally gets a blemish. And of course, the problem is that could be a month from now, a year from now. It could be never. And you have now this carbon running around your flock, and you're not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to work it. And it's a really difficult scenario. So of course, the best solution would be, well, let's prevent, preventative medicine. So over here, let's prevent the animal from ever arriving at this issue. Now, there is a way to do it, which we're actually, the Gemara here doesn't discuss, that we discussed back in the beginning of Bechoros, and that is, have a non-Jew have an interest, a financial interest in the animal, and once there's a non-Jewish financial interest in the animal, so therefore there's no longer Kedushas Bechor altogether. That is a solution. The Gemara in Bechoros discussed it, but meanwhile, however, we're going to be dealing with the more classic solution. The more classic solution, meaning the Gemara says it over here, the Gemara said it back in Bechoros as well, and that is as follows. Here's what you can do. You could put a blemish in the animal in utero, or even better, I take that word back. Or another option is you could put a blemish in the animal right at the moment of emergence, but before the head actually comes out. Meaning like the way Rashi describes it over here, Rashi gives actually a very graphic description, where basically as it's being born, the ear pops out before the head, and right there you could just put a nick right in the ear. Now, I thought you're not allowed to put a blemish in an animal. That's true, after it's born. But before it's born, or at the moment right before its birth, it doesn't yet have Kedushas Bechor. So therefore, it's totally legitimate to put a blemish in the animal at that point in time. I know what's happened. It's going to be born with a blemish. Problem solved. Now it is nechal b'mumo. Now you're allowed to eat it with its blemish. Good. This is a statement to Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara here introduces us to. Mutter lahatol mum b'bechor kodem shi'atzi la'avir olam. Now all that's well and good. Tanan. Amar adam mashe b'yemei ashalzu ola in shlamim lo. So. If the Gemara says, let's consider, what did we just learn in our Mishnah? If a person says that which is inside of her is going to be an Ola, so then specifically an Ola and not a Shlamim. The Atamata Matzis Mafkas Le Mikdushasa. So the Gemara says, look, we are open to the idea of making the fetus an Ola. And not even a Shlamim, meaning we really want it to become an Ola and arrive at the point of highest level of Kedusha. And over here, what you're doing is recommending a way in which the animal should be born not with the Kedushas Bechor. Like, how can we entertain even this notion? But the answer is, and I kind of already gave away the answer. The answer is, Amalach Rav Yehuda, Ani Milu V'Zmanche Beis HaMikdash Kayim. No, you're right. When the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you don't want to go about this manner. You don't want to use this maneuver. You want the animal to be born Bechor because that's the whole Ratzon HaTorah. What the Torah wants is an animal to be a Bechor and offered on the Mizbeach. And of course, yes, we're not advocating during the time of the Beis HaMikdash that you should try to obviate the necessity of bringing this as a carbon. No, let it be born as a regular Bechor. We're not giving advice for then, we're giving advice for now. So we're talking about nowadays where you can't be makrivit. And again, you get back to the dilemma, and this is a great way to solve for the dilemma. So the Gemara says, now, what's the pushback? Meaning, this point of Rav Yehuda is so obvious, to which the Gemara says it's not so obvious, because I'll tell you why. Consider, when are you putting a blemish on the animal right before the head comes out? Now, there's not a lot of time. Meaning, if we are talking about at the point of birth, and you're putting the blemish on as the ear is coming up before the head is coming out, so you have to be really quick. And not only that, but it's a real possibility that the head's just going to pop right out before you put the blemish on. And now as the head pops on, you put the blemish right on the animal, and now you violate the Isser of the Torah of putting a blemish on a Bechor. And so over here, the threshold of when it's okay versus when it's not okay is such a thin threshold that one can easily imagine the Chachamim would say, hey, you know what? That's risky. That's really risky behavior. Don't do that. So the Ve'ema HaChinami, the Gemara says, hey, you know what? That argument that I just presented, that's a really good argument. Why don't we say that? So Afilo Hachi HaAdifa Mid'asi Be'li De'gizav Avoda. So the Gemara says it is risky behavior. But on the other hand, let's consider the other option. The other option is that it's going to be born a Bechor. And now, if it's born a Bechor, you're not allowed to put a blemish on the animal. You have to wait till it gets a blemish on the animal. And now, it's very easy to entertain that the person holding on to this animal for so long is going to be violating the Isser Torah of Giza, the Isser Torah of Avoda. So you're right. The behavior of putting a blemish on the animal while it's emerging and trying to make sure you get it right before the head comes out, you're right. That's a risk. But on the other side of it, if I don't do that, so then one can easily imagine that a person is going to be violating the Isuri Torah of Giza Vavoda. So the Chachamim, obviously they weighed all these options. And so they said the best option is to give it a mum either before emergence or immediately the moment before emergence. Okay. Why doesn't the Gemara, just as an interesting aside, why doesn't the Gemara just simply say, have a non-Jew be a partner in the animal, and that obviates the problem altogether? So you can see the Tosfos on the bottom of the Amud, who doesn't really articulate the question in this manner, but he discusses that a little bit, and we discussed this back in Becharos. It's just a great observation. Tosfos doesn't make this point, but it's what I'm going to say is correct. In what we're discussing over here, while you're putting a blemish on the animal before it emerges, so what do you have over here? You have a bechor with a blemish. At least now, you're eating a bechor. Now I say you're eating, I mean the kohen. You know, you give it to a kohen. But the kohen's now eating a bechor. That's a greater value than, what if a non-Jew is partners in the animal? What if the non-Jew is a partner in the animal? What comes out then? What comes out then is a regular animal, with no kedusha to it whatsoever. So in other words, what the Gemara is considering over here is that we still want it to be a Bechor on emergence. We just wanted a Bechor without the dilemma of we're going to have to wait till it gets a blemish. But it's going to come out of Bechor Ba'amum. Masha Enkin, if you have a non-Jew being a partner in the animal, so then what's going to come out is a zero. It does not have any Kedusha whatsoever. Okay.
That's, in this case, you're doing favor to the coin. The other one, you did favor to yourself.
Right. Correct. In Mekeva Zivchei Shlamim. Okay, we are continuing now in the Gemara. We're in the bottom of Chavdalam and Beis. If it's a female, so then it is a Shlamin. Nekeva Mika Kasha Bebechora. Now the Gemara asks the question, which I foreshadowed back in the Mishnah. If it's a female, then what are we even talking about? It's not going to be a Bechor. And so why would you even make that statement altogether? Seif Asila Behema Dehektesh. So the Gemara says, oh, because the Seif is talking about where the animal is an animal, where its mother was already a carbon. Rashi over here writes, Lebehema Dehektesh, I'm reading the Rashi. Let's say the mother's a chatas, v'nis abra, and the mother now becomes pregnant. Because now consider, mother is a chatas, and the mother got pregnant. And now, so that's a carbon chatas that has a vlad. So as we learned in the previous perek, that's one of the five chatas amesos. So if we let now nature take its course, and the fetus now develops into a viable and healthy offspring, the offspring unfortunately has to be disposed of. And so we can avoid that. How can we avoid that? So it's amazing. What we can now do is give a different kedusha to the fetus. Rashi writes, "V'nisab reverse elaharim shalo yelech lamisa vlad chatzas lamisa azel." So yishaneu lekedusha acheres. So what you can now do is give it another kedusha. The kamash blan de vlados kachim av yason hin kedusha v'lo beme iman. So now we have to say the following. This is going to be one of the biggest debates that we're going to be going over again and again this morning. Okay, when you have now a fetus developing inside of a mother. Now, at this point in time, let's make this distinction as clear as possible. There are two scenarios in which we're going to keep going back and forth over, and it's always important to remember which scenario we're working with. Scenario number one, the mother's a carbon, and then it conceives and starts developing a fetus inside. Scenario number two, you were makdish the animal while it was pregnant. Those are two different scenarios. Right now we're dealing with scenario number one, where you were makdish the mother as a carbon chatas, then it became pregnant, and now it's going to have a carbon offspring. That's a given. Now the issue is as follows. When does that offspring become a carbon? While it's developing inside the mother or at emergence? The answer is tzemach locus. No, this is not the machlokas. That's the part I want to be clear about. That's not the machlokas of Rav Yochanan Bar Pada. The machlokas of Rav Yochanan Bar Pada is when you are makdish the animal while it's pregnant, which we're going to get to later this morning. Right now we're talking about where it was a carbon, then it got pregnant, and now it's going to be having a carbon. The offspring is going to be a carbon. The only discussion and the only issue is, when does it get carbon status? While developing inside, only at the point of emergence. This is a machlokas hatanayim. We're going to see this machlokas in just a moment in the Gemara. And so what we're saying over here is as follows. We are now subscribing to the viewpoint, and that's why I'm reading the Rashi, because it's really important to get all this clear. We're subscribing to the viewpoint that when is the fetus going to have the kedusha? Only at the point of emergence. It's going to be a vlad chatas only when it comes out. And so now what can you do with it in utero? You can give it another kedusha. That's what Rashi says. The kamashal on devlados kachim be'av yasan hein kadoshim v'lo be'me iman ve'kevin da'adayin lo kadosh be'kadushas imo matzi le'arkuve aleha kadusha achrita. You can put another kadusha on it. De'lechim esyale lo havi v'lad chatas, so that when it's born now, it won't be considered a v'lad chatas. Good. That is the way the Gemara explains our Mishnah. And so now, you got to follow. The first case in the Mishnah is talking about when you're anticipating the male animal to come out. That's talking about whether it's a regular chulin animal, where the male animal that comes out would have been a bechor, and I'm going to be able to preempt it by giving it another kedusha, i.e. the kedusha of an ola. Okay. And if it's a female that comes out, new case, that's a new case in the Mishnah. It's talking about where the mother's hektish. And Rashi over here says, even if the mother's a chatas, what you can do is that you can preempt the fetus by giving it another kedusha so that when it comes out, it's not a chatas. Okay. Next.
There's no issue with davar shalom, but davar shalom.
It could be an issue, but the Mishnah doesn't raise it. The Gemara doesn't discuss it. Okay. Yaldo shnei zecharim. Amri ibehim adehektesh hechta akdish ola lehadar ola idach nehave bikdusha so di'ima. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Now that we just shifted and said that our mission now is dealing with cases that it is a carbon, the mother is a carbon, so how could you be makdish it as an ola? So lehadar ola idach nehi bikdusha sadi ime, and why isn't the second offspring just simply take on the kedusha of its mother? So the Gemara says seif aslan behemachulin. So the Gemara says, well, when we get to the twin boys case of the Mishnah, we're back where the mother's chulin. And so, yes, it's a little bit choppy now, the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off with a case where the mother's chulin. The next case in the Mishnah is where the mother's a chatas. The next case in the Mishnah is where the mother's a chulin. And yes, it's true. The Gemara avoids explaining Mishnayos in such a manner where we're going from one case to a different case, back to another case. It's true, but it's really the only way to make sense of the Mishnah. So when the offspring that comes out is a male, that's talking about where the mother's chulin. When the offspring comes out is female, that's talking about where the mother's hektesh. When we're talking about twin boys, we're back to the case where the mother is chulin. Okay. Yalda tumtum van Jorgenos. Now as we start off on the top of Chafei Amud Aleph, Amai ein kedusha chala aleihen. Why is there no kedusha on the tumtum and androgynous? Then as Rashi points out, this question could even be asked earlier in the Mishnah. The Kasavar Shem Gamliel Vlados Kadoshim Behav Yasan Hein Kedoshin. And so here we go. With a basic understanding of our Mishnah, now, we already made this point, but we only made this point through Rashi. The Gemara now is saying it very clearly. The reason why we could play around with these fetuses, I say play around, I mean preempt the Kedusha, is because we are dealing with the following. Our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that when is the Vlad going to have Kedusha? Only Behev Yasan. Behev Yasan means only when they're born. So that means that while developing in utero, it is neutral Kedusha. No Kedusha. It's potential Kedusha, but only that when it emerges. And so therefore, what you can do is you can give it an assignment of Kedusha other than that of what it's going to be when it's born. Now, because if we are going to go with the other position is that it's going to be kadosh while developing inside. If that's true, whatever develops inside is going to have the kedusha of its mother. Doesn't matter if it's male, doesn't matter if it's female, doesn't matter if it's tumtum androgynous, meaning it's just simply considered part and parcel of the mother. Now again, this is not the issue of uber yerachimo, uber lav yerachimo. This is the issue of when do developing fetuses inside of a carbon obtain the mother status of that carbon. If I subscribe to the idea of while developing inside, it's going to always have the kedusha of whatever the mother is. Ha tafsasino kedusha di imei. So our Mishnah is not subscribing to that viewpoint, but rather subscribing to the viewpoint of Rishon Gamliel that is the kedusha of the offspring is only at the point of emergence.
So this doesn't matter when the fetus was conceived.
Again, we're gonna see that that's not accurate. That's not accurate.
According to Rabbi Shimon
Gamliel. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is only discussing a scenario where the first you were makdish the mother, and then it becomes pregnant. The question of what happens when you're makdish a pregnant animal, so in other words, that is the machlokes of Rav Yochanan and Bar Padda, that's coming up later. You'll see. Now the Gemara says, okay, so there are those who argue with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and the Gemara says, yeah, there are. And now the Gemara is going to quote the Braisa, and this Braisa is clearly arguing with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and is going to subscribe to the viewpoint that a fetus developing inside of a carbon is going to be receiving the Kedusha, not at emergence, but while developing inside. How do I know that? The Braisa reads, Ilu namar b'chor lo yakdish. Now, if the Torah would have said b'chor lo yakdish, here's how I could have read that pasuk in the Torah. It could have been read that the Bechor over here is referencing not to the animal, but rather to the person. Hayisi omer Bechor lo yaktish hekdeshos. It's a funny havamina, but it's a havamina. A Bechor can't be maktish something. You know, I'm just entertaining the havamina for more than just a moment right now. You know, if you're a Bechor, so you can't label something else a Bechor. Okay, it's whatever, it's difficult. Anyway, tamalomer ish oso. Also, we have makdish of makdish adam b'chor hekdeshos. So fine. So isho so is that the b'chor himself you can't be makdish, but the adam b'chor can be makdish hekdeshos. V'aydain in omer hu lo yakdish aval yakdishu acherim. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, even in the hav, I mean, here's what I could have thought. Maybe the b'chor can't be makdish other things, but yakdishu achem, but others could be makdish. Tamalomer bebehema. Bebehema sakti. We're only talking about animals, meaning there's literally no limitation in terms of what a bechor can do. A bechor can be makdish, both bechor, non-bechor, meaning the bechor person has no limitations of what he could be makdish. Even though, again, as a havamina, we entertained it for a moment, but obviously no. So yacholo yakdishena bebeten. So the Gemara says now. Again, it's a havamina. It's a havamina. I recognize that already. It's a havamina of the Braisa. Okay. Anyway, yachol lo yakdishenu bebeten. Now, so we have now the bechor who's about to come out, and what we're learning together is that once the bechor comes out, I can't be makdish in any other manner because again, it comes out default bechor. How about in utero? Tamalamar asher yivukal Hashem. So mishivukal Hashem iata makdish aval tamakdish bebeten. So once it comes out, you can't be makdish it, but in utero, for sure you can be makdish it. Because again, it's not a bechor, it's not given bechor status until after it emerges. Good. Yochol af lade kol hakadoshim kein. Is that true by all karbanos? So tamalomer ach, chalak. The Torah says the word ach. Ach is a miut, it always means no. Only here by bechor do we have this option of being makdish the fetus in utero of the mother. Only by bechor, but not by any other carbon. So amas virle vlad kashim mein anin kedoshin. Meaning outside of bechor, what's the default position? The fetus inside of a carbon has the status of its mother while it's developing inside, and you cannot give it any other kedusha. Okay. And now what comes out now is that entire mission that we learned at the beginning of Shir today is not going like this Tana, because this Tana is of the opinion b'mei iman, that the fetus is given the kedusha of its mother while it's in utero. Masha'en Kain, our Mishnah, subscribes to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says, Behev Yasan, only when they come out. Amle Rav Amle Rav Sheshes, Amar Al HaBechor, Im Yisias Rubo, Ola, Ola, Have, O Bechor Have. The Gemara now entertains the following question. Let's say we have a scenario in which a Bechor is going to come out. And what you stipulate is, I want it to be not a Bechor, but rather an Ola. Now, we already learned the correct way to do it. The correct way to do it is while it's inside the mother. Again, subscribing to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Right? We're back to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So fine. So that's the correct way to do it. But let's say I do the following. I say, you know, when I want my Kedusha of the Ola to come onto this animal, again, which would have been a Bechor had it emerged, when the majority of it comes out. So basically now, your Kedusha that you're imposing is going to come simultaneously with the Kedusha's Bechor. So which one is going to win this photo finish? Okay. So Amar LeBechor Imitzias Rubo. So Ola. Ola Have or Bechor Have. So which Kedusha now is going to take precedence? Now Ola Have the Choporta Porta de Kanafik Hu Kalil. So can we say the following? That when I am giving it the designation of the Bechor, but again, sorry, let me restate that and let me say it correctly. When I give it the designation of Ola, so do we say that it, with every incremental moment as it's coming out of the mother until it gets to the majority, it's like Kedushas Ola, Kedushas Ola, Kedushas Ola, or Bechor Havi Dechol Porta Porta Dechanafik Bemelsehu. Or maybe no, maybe Bechor, because as it's coming out, again, the head has not yet emerged. But as we're going from the moment of the beginning of birth to the time in which the head comes out, what is it already set to be? It's set to be a Bechor. So maybe the Kedusha of Bechor should win out.
We can't say it was a Bechor since it was conceived.
We don't say that. Meaning that clearly is not the position that, no. The assumption going in is that it only is going to be Bechor when the head emerges. That is clear. Even according to especially according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, but even according to the other Tana who disagrees. By Bechor, it only has Kedushas Bechor when it emerges. And that's when the head emerges. And now what you're stipulating is that you want it to become an Ola when the head emerges. So now it's a neck and neck tie, right? With the pun intended. And now which one should take precedence? Lishna Achrina, the Gemara, just articulates the same question, just in a slightly different format. Again, we're still in Temura, so we're going to get a lot of these second versions. Sheken Kedusha Chayilai Leo Dilma Bechor Havi Sheken Kedusha Somei Rechem. Okay, it's basically the same. It's a similar formulation of what we just said. Amalei Mati Baila Chayna Dabai Ilfa. He says, I don't think it's a question. Look, let's go back to what Ilfa taught us. Amar Al Haleket In Mishiras Rubo Yehi Hefker Leket Havi or Hefker Havi. Okay, we're going to go to a funny analogy, but it's a good analogy. Okay, a stalk is about to leave your hand. Okay, as you are harvesting and any of the stalks fall out of your hand, one or two stalks fall out of your hand, that's now designated as leket. It's got leket status, which means it's for the ani, it's not for you. And so the ani now has the right to, as he's walking behind you, to go ahead and pick it up. And you do not have the right to pick it up because now it has the status of leket. Now, let's say as the majority of it is falling out of your hand, you say, you know what? I don't want it to be leket, but rather I want it to be hefker. So there's a default setting of that of the stalk as it's coming out of your hand, which is leket. And then there's your designation that you would like to give it. And it's occurring at the same time. So it's occurring at the same time. Hefker, I'm sorry. So ruba yehi hefker. So leket have or hefker have. So which one is it going to be? Leket have shekein kedusha so bidei shemayim. On one hand, leket, because that's the default setting. Or maybe no, maybe it's going to be Hefker, because Hefker, you give it the designation of Hefker, and oh, by the way, Hefker, more people are eligible to take it. In other words, the Ani could take it, and the Nusher could take it. It's Hefker, it belongs to nobody. And as far as when the question was asked, and Rav heard the question, Abaye heard the question, Abaye said, what are we talking about? Meaning, there's a default designation that's set by Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's your designation. It's occurring at the same time. Which one should we give priority to? Devar Hara, Devar Tama, Devar Mishomim. Now, admittedly, by the way, this is not the classic way the Gemara presents this phrase. This phrase is usually assigned for a question of when a shliach is asked to do something that goes against the Torah, right? Ain shliach l'dvar avera, second paragraph of Kiddushin. And then the Gemara uses exactly this expression of divrei Rav, divrei Tamid, divrei Mishomim. Well, you shouldn't do the avera because even though somebody told you to do it, but at the same time the Torah told you not to do it. And of course, who do you listen to? So admittedly, this is now a borrowed expression over here, but still it's good. If the Torah gives a default designation and you're giving your own designation and you didn't and you have every right to do that, by the way, both in the case of giving your wheat stalks the status of hefker, you could do that. In terms of giving a fetus the status of another carbon, you could do that. But we're discussing a case in which they're happening concurrently. And so which one should win out? Which one should win out? The default setting given by the Torah, not your designation.
So if it's before he can do it, he can grab it, so yeah. He can pick it up himself.
That's what we've been discussing.
So he can pick it up himself.
But keep in mind, though, once he designates Hefker beforehand, so somebody else can come and pick it up.
No, but if nobody's around, Hefker can come back and pick it up himself.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not sure if that's right.
Why not? I mean, it's before happening.
So it's going to be a Bechor and not an Euler.
Huh?
When he says, I want it to be an Euler, when it comes out, it's going to be a Bechor and not an Ola.
Right, correct. In other words, when it's a tie, so then the Ola, then the Bechor is going to beat out the Ola because that's the default designation that the Torah assigns.
We're all saying the same thing.
Okay. Ha'omer v'lad shel zeh Ola, hishlamim dvarav, v'hishlamim dvarav kayamim. Okay. We're now moving on to this Mishnah over here, and now we're making a major change. In other words, like I said in the beginning of this morning, but I'm just trying to be as clear as possible. In the previous Mishnah, we were talking about a carbon where after it becomes a carbon, then it conceives and then it has a fetus developing inside. And the question now becomes, what Kedusha is its default setting? What can I change it to? Is it going to be Kadosh B'me'eha? Is it going to be Kadosh B'Yitzia? Okay. Now in this Mishnah over here, the animal is pregnant and I'm being Maktish, a pregnant animal. And now, question. Can I give the mother one Kedusha and the fetus another Kedusha? And now we get to our classic discussion of Rav Yochanan. But remember, Rav Yochanan is well after the Mishnah. Not well after the Mishnah. But Rav Yochanan is after the Mishnah. So first and foremost, we see a Mishnah together. And then afterwards, we get to see Rav Yochanan. So ha'omer v'lad shel zeh ola v'hi shlamim dvarav kayamim. If let's say I want the fetus to be an ola, I want the mother to be a shlamim, great. However, hi shlamim uvlada ola. I want the mother to be a shlamim. And then afterwards he says, I want the fetus to be an ola. Hare zivlad zivche shlamim. Divra Meir. According to Rav Meir, do you know what the fetus is? The fetus is a shlamim. Right? And Rav Meir, throughout Shas, and Rashi makes this point super clear. Rav Meir throughout Shas says, Tfos Lashon Rishon. You have to take the first thing that he says. Now the first thing that he said, in the second case, is that he said, I want the mother to be a shlamim. Stop right there. The mother's going to be a shlamim, so that means that the mother and all that which is inside of her is going to be a shlamim. Right. And the fetus inside is going to be a shlamim as well. Later on, he also says, oh, by the way, I want that fetus to be an ola. It's too late. In other words, your lashon rishon was that the animal, the mother, and implied implication is, and all the contents of the mother are going to be a shlamim. I'm Rav Yossi, im l'chein niskaven t'chila hol v'iyesh l'krosh neishem v'skechad v'rav kayamim. So Rav Yossi says, look, we're human. And we can't do that maneuver that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, Shomer v'Zachar b'dibur echad. Kadosh Baruch Hu can say two things simultaneously. We can't do that. So in other words, you have to allow for the human to work within the capacity of a human. A human can't go and give the Kedusha of the mother and its fetus two different Kedusha simultaneously. So let the man finish his sentence. So over here, the mother is going to be a shlamim, the fetus is going to be an ola, and good. And we'll take the totality of the statement. However, even Rav Yossi is going to admit, if let's say you started off with the statement of it's going to be a shlamim, where your original intent is that the whole animal, and afterwards, hamlacha, you change your mind. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Or I want to change my mind. You say very clearly. I want to change my mind. It's too late now at that point in time. So the Rav Yossi allows for the totality of the statement if that was his original intent. Okay. And again, in terms of what we assume that the person's telling the truth.
One question. Even if you go with Rabbi Meir, that it becomes So if you apply Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, up until the birth, you should be able to change that.
So once
the birth is actually making shalom.
Once again, I'm going to try to be as clear as possible. Yes. The Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel issue is talking about where the animal is a carbon and then it gets pregnant. We are discussing a pregnant animal. You being makdish a pregnant animal. So now it's a different case. Now, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hifrish Chatos Mu'ubaras V'yalda V'yatzaba Miskapir Ratzaba V'lad Miskapir. Okay, Rav Yochanan starts off with a statement. Now, we've seen this before, and this, again, is a classic discussion now of Rav Yochanan and his general position of how do we view a mother and its fetus. But here, let's look at the particular application of Rav Yochanan. Scenario is where you're mafrish a chatas, a pregnant chatas. So meaning at the time when you were makdish, it was pregnant. So now there are two entities to take into consideration, the mother and the fetus. And you are makdish it, meaning mother and fetus. So now what you, and you gave the chatas designation. So how many chatos were you makdish? Two, according to Rav Yochanan. And so now which one can you use? The answer is either one. As we learned already, not so long ago. And when I say not so long ago, I mean yesterday's daf. As we learned as yesterday's daf, if you set aside two permanent chatos le'achrayos, so you could use whichever one you want. And what about the remainder? The remainder is l'nedava. You let it graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem it, and the proceeds go to nedava. Now, my time, what's the basis? Kasav Rav Yochanan im shayir meshuyar. Uber lav yerech imahu. So this is Rav Yochanan Lashita. So as we saw Rav Yochanan earlier in Amr Masecht and Daf Yud, and now we get to see it again in Daf Chaf Hey. So Rav Yochanan now is having our discussion, his position that a pregnant animal is really not one animal, it's really two animals. And so therefore, if I'm designated as a chatos, what I'm really doing is designating two chatos. And so therefore, it is like we learned in yesterday's daf, shtei chatos le'achrayos, you can use whichever one. So most of Rebbe Lazar, hishlamim v'lad da'ola, ha'rezev v'lad shlamim. So the Gemara says, okay, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that I'm designating the mother as a shlamim, and the offspring as an ola, ha'rezev v'lad shlamim. Isak, da'chasharim asher, ha'rezev v'lad shlamim, ha'rezu shlamim ba'i, misnei. Now, what's the problem? Actually, our Mishnah, on one hand, is really supportive of Rav Yochanan, right? Because our Mishnah clearly allows for the mother and the offspring to be given two different kedushas. I'll tell you the problem with the Mishnah, the language of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Hare Zevlad Shlamim. It's the offspring of a Shlamim. What do you mean? Hare Zevlad Shlamim. Hare Zu Shlamim. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, aren't they two legally separate entities? So according to Rav Yochanan, shouldn't the language of the Mishnah be not Hare Zevlad Shlamim, but Zu Shlamim? We're talking about a pregnant animal. From Rav Yochanan's standpoint, those are two separate entities. So by Misnei, Amar Rav Tavla Barmina, Dahi. So Rav Tavla says, I'll tell you what. Our Mishnah is not a problem with Rav Yochanan, because Hamar Rav Latana, Rav, when he was hearing over our Mishnah, and he heard the Tana say over our Mishnah, so Rav says, stop right there. And Tani Hare Zu Shlamim. And Rav told the Tana, you're not saying the Mishnah correctly. Don't say Hare Zu Vlad Shlamim, rather say Hare Zu Shlamim. Because again, Rav is subscribing to Rav Yochanan's viewpoint that a pregnant animal is not one entity, but two separate entities. Mother and offspring are two separate entities. And so therefore, it's not Vlad Shlamim, but Hare Zu Shlamim. I understand that, but legally speaking, though, it works better for Rav Yochanan, because they're two separate entities. Meisvei. Okay, and so what we're going to be doing now for the remainder of the daf today is we're going to be challenging this assertion of Rav Yochanan that a fetus and its mother are considered two separate entities, two separate legal entities, and we're going to be all over the place. Now, I mean by that, the Gemara is organized, but what I mean by that is that we're going to be going from animals to humans, and it's clear in the Gemara, so clear, that this sheet of Rav Yochanan is not limited to just animals. The sheet of Rav Yochanan is also by humans as well. That uber lav yarchimo, that the mother and the fetus inside are two separate legal entities. Now, mind you, by the way, even within the sheet of Rav Yochanan, in terms of in terms of other areas of halacha, it doesn't necessarily work out as crystal clear as it's working out over here, because we're having a legal discussion of, can I give one status of carbon, another status of carbon, as we're going to see right now. Can one be an eved, can the mother be a shifcha, and the fetus inside be a non-eved? So we're only talking vis-a-vis legal statuses and being able to maintain independence of one another for legal statuses. For other areas of halacha, it's not necessarily the same discussion. But here it is. The Gemara over here entertains the following braisa meisvei. We are three lines from the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Says to his shifcha, who is already pregnant, you're going to be maintained and be retained by me under my ownership as being a shifcha, but as far as your fetus is concerned, emancipation. Cheres. Imaisa ubra zachzalo. So now, if as far as the fetus is concerned, so zachzalo. So she is going to be able to receive the get shichur from her master on behalf of her fetus. Now, let's think this through. This is going to be a little bit complicated, let's think this through. So the Gemara says now, if mother and fetus inside are legally one entity, so now this entity, and I know I'm speaking about a human, I'm aware of that. But I'm just speaking now strictly from a legal standpoint. This entity of mother and her fetus inside, if we're going to assume that it's all one entity, so what is the owner doing when he's freeing the fetus? Not nothing.
Mother also.
Freeing the mother.
No. He's freeing half of his slave. If it's one entity. So if reviewing the entirety of mother and fetus inside as one, so freeing the fetus inside is freeing half of his slave. Now, what is the halacha regarding freeing half your slave? I'm so happy you asked. So im sharin amashur yehuber yarechim amishum hachizach talav ahavalei kemeshacher chasi avdo. We are now in the topic of discussing of being meshacher half your evan. Umani Rebbe Meir hikidetanya. And the Gemara says, and look, the Shita Rav Meir, the author of the Brisa, the Gemara is assuming is going like the Shita Rav Meir, a Meshacher Chasi Avdo Yatsa L'Cheirus. That if you're Meshacher half your Eved, so that results in Cheirus. Gita V'yado Ban Kechad. Because now, how are you receiving the get? The answer is because half of you are freed. Half of you are freed now, and you're the one receiving the get. And it's the classic conundrum of how do you free your Shivcha or your Eved Kanani? Mashakana Evakana Rabo, giving anything into their possession is nothing more than moving something from your right pocket into your left pocket. It is all yours from a possession standpoint. So how does that work? And the answer is that we say that the get and his cheres come simultaneously. Gito ve'avdo, Gito ve'yado ban ke'echad. Both the get and his hand are acquired to him simultaneously. And so if I'm now freeing the fetus inside, and we're viewing the fetus as one part and parcel of the mother. So this is now analogous to the case of being Meshacher Chatzi Eved, in which the Eved goes free. That's good. Meaning then the case makes perfect sense. But if I take the Rav Yochanan position, so now we're going to get stuck, and I don't just mean stuck. I mean, this is an unsolvable problem. Amai Zach Solo, the Hatanya. Let's say I want to try to free one of my slaves. I'm going backwards in the brisa. I'm dealing with the second case first. Let's say I want to free one of my slaves, but I don't give him the get shechur. I give another one of my slaves the get shechur. Now, of course, in general in halacha, somebody can acquire something on behalf of somebody else, and certainly if it's a zechus. But we can say that everybody is on the same page. I'm telling him, I'm handing this to him on behalf of you. It works throughout halacha, but it's not going to work here. Because consider, if I'm handing my get shechur to another one of my slaves on behalf of the slave, one of my slaves I want to free, it's me. I'm giving it now to me. So I'm like, it's like me, right, going from my right hand and putting it into my left hand. And going from my left hand back into my right hand. Yeah. And it doesn't work. And so it would work, interestingly enough, now I'm going back to the first case of the Braisa, it would work if I handed it to somebody else's Eved Kanani. Then it would work, because he can accept it on behalf of somebody else. Now, granted, by the way, I know this is a little bit complicated, because when I hand it to somebody else's Eved Kanani, I'm really handing it to his owner of that Eved Kanani. Okay, fine, but in other words, but it's somebody other than me. The point is, it's somebody other than me. So over here, now let's consider. If we're saying that mother and fetus inside are two separate entities, and I'm handing the mother the get shichur for her fetus, and I'm subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yochanan, so now it's an unsolvable problem. Well, every time I'm handing it to the mother on behalf of the fetus so that the fetus can be freed, well, basically it's me going from my right hand to my left hand. Aren't I freeing half my Eved? No, I'm not. Not according to Rav Yochanan. Mother and fetus are two totally separate entities. And so that means then that when I'm handing it to the mother, I'm just basically going from my right hand to my left hand. Okay. And not only that, not only is this problem unsolvable, the Gemara acknowledges it's unsolvable. The Gemara says, Elo Shmamina, what do you see clearly over here? Im Shayiro in a Meshuyah, but Tiyufta de Rav Yochanan, Tiyufta. This is absolutely a challenge against Rav Yochanan. Okay. And so, it's interesting. The Gemara now, even though the Gemara has throughout the Masechta, back on Daf Yud and over here, has certainly significantly entertained the position of Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara will continue to do so, but almost like a little bump in the road, where over here, Rav Yochanan is certainly not going to be supported by this Braisa. Okay, let's continue. Lema, im Shari Meshuria Tanaihi. The Gemara now is entertaining the idea that this idea of Shari Meshuria is really Machlokas Tanaim. Let's consider the following Braisa. Omel Shivchaso Harayad Baschorin of Ladecha Evan. So, I go over to my shifcha and I say, look, I'm going to free you, but I want to retain the fetus that's inside of you right now. So Vlada Kamoa Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that the fetus is going to go wherever she's going. If she's going to freedom, her fetus is coming with her. So V'chachamim Omrin Dvarv Kayamim. And the Chachamim say, no, he can make such a statement. So Mishum Shenemar, Yishav Yalada, Tiyal Adoneha. Now the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, that both the woman and her children are going to be owned by the owner. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Huh? Here's where I'm confused. In other words, the Machlokas, which we're going to explain a lot better in just a moment, I understand very well. Well, not very well. But in other words, the positions of Rav Yosef Lili says that the mother and the fetus cannot be separated. Whatever the status is with the mother, that's the same status as the fetus. And the Chachamim say, no, you could separate the two. And then the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that's supporting the Chachamim. What? That Pasuk's not supporting the Chachamim. That Pasuk is supporting Rav Yosef Glili, and the Gemara makes that point right now. Cry my Tamud le Rabbanan. So Amar Rava Kral le Rav Yosef Glili. The Bryce over here was a little bit unclear in terms of what the Pasuk is doing. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Pasuk's doing. The Pasuk's there to support Rav Yosef Lili, Diktani Vlada Kamoa. Shenemra Isha Vlada Tiyal Adoneha. Bizman She Isha Ladoneha Vlada Ladoneha. That when the mother is owned by the owner, so then so is her fetus. But if the mother's not owned by the owner, i.e. she was emancipated, so is the fetus. Okay. So the Pasuk is for Rav Yosef Lili, not for the Chachamim. Good. Now that we're here, what's the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rav Yosef Lili? So the Gemara now explains beautifully. My love, Beha Kemiflagi. The Rabbi Yodis is Savar Shai Rana Meshuyar, Rabban is Savar Meshuyar. The Machlokas over here is exactly the Machlokas of Rav Yochanan, and I'll say Bar Pada because I'm going all the way back to Daf Yud, but it's the Machlokas of Rav Yochanan Bar Pada. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, the mother and fetus are two separate entities. That's the sheet of the Chachamim, which by the way, that's the Rabbim. And Bar Pada would be going like Rav Yosef Glili. Seems to be pretty clear. So the Gemara says, okay, you don't have to say that. Here's what you could say. Everyone agrees to Rav Yochanan. Everyone agrees that mother and fetus are two separate entities. Aye, what about this? What about this Braisa and specifically the sheet of Rav Yosef Galili? Gzeiras HaKasuf. The Torah tells us that over here, we are not going to be following the normal rules of mother and fetus, which are two separate entities. But because of the pasuk over here, Aisha v'yaldeha tiyala doneha, so therefore this is an exception to the rule. Ella vadai lema kihani tanai, detanya. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll do now is as follows. You're right. The previous machlokas, not necessarily the machlokas of Yochanan bar Pada, but let's consider the following. Hashochet sechatos umatzaba ben dalid chai. You shech the carbon chatos and you find inside of it a four-month-old developing fetus. We're talking about a small animal where the full gestation is a five-month period of time. And so over here, as you shefted the mother, a four-month was inside. And again, let us say, I'm trying to be as clear as possible, that when you were makdish the mother, at the time you were makdish, it was already pregnant. And so, and just a short while later, you shefted it, and you found a ben dalet. So, tenichada. So, how? What is the status of this four-month-old? Now, in terms of the heter achila, that goes all the way back to chulin, and we discussed this in detail. Ben pakua, you're allowed to eat it. That's not the issue. The issue is, how do you eat it? Like a carbon chatas, or like its own separate entity? So, so Bryce number one says that this fetus is a chatas, and you're going to eat it like a, you're eating it like a chatas with all the rules of a chatas, only for the male kohanim, only for one day and the following night, only lifnim and a klaim, only in the azara like a chatas. Tanya idach nechal sechol adam nechal sechol makom nechal seolam. And another Bryce says no, it's chulin ba'alma. It's a chulin animal. Anybody can eat it, and you can eat it anywhere, and you can eat it at any time. So my love tonight, the Tanakh Masavar. Now, here's where the Gemara gets a little bit tricky, because Rashi is not following the gears of the Gemara. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to step away from the Gemara. I'm going to go to Rashi, and I'm going to present the Gemara as Rashi presents it, even though it is not the gears that we have in our Gemara. So take a look at Rashi. I'm just going to run right to Rashi. My love baha pligi. Right, Rashi's a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Dibra amaskal my lab bahapligi. The Tanakama de mashle toras chatas. Now, according to the Tanakama, who says that this 4-month-old is a chatas kasaver im shayr meshuyar, so he's going aliba de Rabbi Yochanan. The cave and the chashiv kebehem aban peinavshe ki lo shayr nami chayla ala kedushas bebetan. And that means to say that when you were makdish the pregnant mother, remember, this is how we started the whole discussion, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So how many chatos were you just makdish? Two carbon chatoses. And now that I shechted the mother, so the fetus inside is going to have the kedusha of the chatos. Now, by the way, can you, while it was pregnant, could you have assigned it for another kedusha? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the answer, of course, is yes. But we're assuming right now you didn't, and so therefore it is going to have the same kedusha as its mother, meaning it's going to be a chatos. The Tana Basra, next Rashi. Now, by the way, the way Rashi is presenting it is the opposite of the girsa that we have in our Gemara. So, just
what
keep...
What does that mean, kiloi shayra? Meaning he has to say something?
Right, because the default setting is that even according to Rav Yochanan, that you're going to be giving the fetus the same status as the mother. You can exclude it from the Kedusha, because it's its own separate entity, but if you don't, it's going to have the same status as the mother. Now, what about the second brisa that says that the four-month-old is not a chatas at all? So he's going to be working not with the Rav Yochanan argument, but rather with the Bar Pada argument of im shayru ena meshuyar. Mother and fetus are one entity, not two separate entities. Rashi, delosh chashiv kebehema ba'an pe nafsha, ela yerech imohi, umachmas imohu dekadish, kishar vladus kadshim. So mother and fetus are one entity. Now, if mother and fetus are one entity, so now, this is where it gets a little tricky. So now, if mother and fetus are one entity, so what should the fetus be? Oh. And so Rashi goes on to explain, according to Bar Pada, the fetus is going to be a chatas, but I'll tell you when that's going to be. Only when it's born. Vlados kachim v'ayi kedusha lo nachta ala ad shas leida. Desvir le vlados kachim v'hev yasen hein kedushim v'lo kodem. Because Bar Pada takes the position that the vlad of a carbon is not going to get to the status of the carbon until Havaya, until it's born.
So it's not born here.
Right.
It's chulin.
Exactly.
So how do you make it into a chatas?
You know, what do you mean? You don't.
So it's not a chatas.
That's exactly what Rashi's saying. Uh-huh. Right. That's exactly what Rashi's saying. Okay, so it's a little, right, the way Rashi's presenting it, it's a little bit counterintuitive in terms of what you would have expected, but anyway, the Gemara now is presenting these two brises as straddling along the machlokas of Rav Yochanan Bar Pada. And the Gemara is going to basically say, not necessarily. The Gemara says, Am lecha Rav Yochanan dekula amin shari meshuyar. Back to the Gemara, and now let's pick it up where? Rav Yochanan says, they could all be agreeing to me, both brises. V'hani tanai ba'akim ifl gemar sefer v'la dekashim be'av yasin ein kedoshin amar sefer v'la dekashim be'mei iman ein kedoshin. As far as the discrepancy between the two brises are not dealing with my case. What's my case? Rav Yochanan's case is where you were makdish the animal while it was pregnant. And again, the question of one entity, two separate entities. The Bryce is talking about where you were makdish it before it even became pregnant. And then after you were makdish it as a carbon, then it got pregnant. Rav Yochanan says under those circumstances, now it's already a carbon. The developing fetus inside is going to attain the same status as the mother. When? Again, that's the machlokas that we saw in the Amud Aleph. The machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the other Tanayim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says at birth. Other Tanayim say while developing inside. And that's the machlokas between the two Tanayim. But it's not reflective at all on my position. And another way to explain the machlokas is that the two cases of Bryce are just talking about when it became pregnant. One Bryce is talking about it became pregnant before I was makdashit, which means that I was makdashit as two separate entities. That's why the mother is a carbon and the fetus is not a carbon. The other Bryce is talking about where you were makdashit before it was pregnant. And so therefore, mother and fetus inside are the same kedusha. Or, by the way, if I wanted to stay consistent with Rashi, everything I said, but just flip it around. Okay.
What about chattas, the blood chattas is the
mitzvah? Right, correct. And if you say, right, I know there's a lot to digest today, but if you say, behev yasan yehei, the vlad chattas is holech lemisa. And you know when that is? When it's born.
So it goes according to the... Not the first Bryce, then.
No. Vlad Chatas Lamisa goes according to everybody. That's Halach L'Moshe Misina.
Right.
It's just a question now of when does it get the status of Chatas? When does the Vlad get the status of Chatas? So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the other Tanayim.
Right.
And what the Gemara now is proposing is that these two Bryces could be straddling along that. But everyone agrees that once it's born, it's going to be a Vlad Chatas. And it's Halach L'Misa. Okay, let's just do a little bit more in order just to finish the two dots. Maskel v'Ravim imay the time of the Rav Yochanan Misharim Meshuyer. How do you know that this is Rav Yochanan's position? Maybe Rav Yochanan can be predicated on a totally separate issue, meaning we're all going all the way back now to the beginning of our discussion. Rav Yochanan says that if there was a pregnant animal and I'm makdish the pregnant animal's achatos, so you could use the mother, you could use the fetus even though it's not yet born, meaning after, of course, it's born, because again, Rav Yochanan holds Ubar lav yerich imahu shayer meshuyar. They are two separate entities. The Gemara now is just entertaining for a moment, just a couple of lines, that maybe Rav Yochanan is predicated on a different principle altogether, and that's the principle of Heiner time to Rav Yochanan da adam is kaper b'shevach hektesh. Maybe over here, what you could do is you can use any of the shevach hektesh appreciation of hektesh. Let's say, for example, that I set aside money for a carbon chatas, and now money itself doesn't grow, right? And I invested in something, and it appreciated in value, or the prices of animals dropped so much that with this money now I can buy even more. In other words, Ben's case is better than that than what I suggested. In other words, whatever it appreciated in value now. So to the point in which you have now shevach hektesh. So maybe what's behind the position of Yochanan is that a person can use not just the hektesh, but any appreciation as well. Dividends that come off of hektesh can be treated like the hektesh as well. And maybe that's behind the shita of Rav Yochanan. So Amalei Rav Amnun, Rabbi Lazar, Talmidei de Rav Yochanan, V'yasav l'kami de Rav Yochanan, V'lo ahado lehai shinuyei. So he says, look, Rav Lazar, who we've quoted earlier, has been one of the people involved in our entire discussion this morning. So he sits in front of Rav Yochanan. He learns in front of Rav Yochanan. He never gave this as pshat in Rav Yochanan. He knew what was behind the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And now you want to give an alternative pshat in Rav Yochanan? Meaning Rav Elazar was there. He was learning by Rav Yochanan. He knew what the underpinnings of Rav Yochanan was. Okay, let's recap. We did good. We caught up this morning. Let's recap. We started the fifth parak of Tomorrow this morning. We talked about the general discussion of if you know the Bechor is going to come out and you want to preempt the Kedushas Bechor, you may do so. Designated as an Ola as opposed to a Bechor, it is a Harama, but a perfectly legitimate Harama. And then the Gemara's ensuing discussion of is there other ways to avoid the animal from being a Bechor or from being a Bechor, being born to be a Bechor Tamim, and we discussed that briefly in the Gemara. Admittedly, the first Mishnah of our parak is a little bit choppy. It starts by talking about a chulin, then talks about a karban, then goes back to chulin, admittedly. Okay. We opened up on Chaf Hamad Aleph with a very basic discussion I have a carbon that becomes pregnant and is going to give birth to a carbon. When it's born, it's for sure going to be a carbon. Is it a carbon even prior to that moment? Meaning, is it a carbon while developing inside as a fetus inside? Machlokes hatanayin. Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the position that it's only a carbon at birth, not prior to that. And according to the other Tanaim, we don't have names to attach to it, but according to other Tanaim, no, that it's the Kedusha is going to be while developing inside. Then we moved on to the next discussion, which is if the animal is already pregnant, and I'm makdish the animal already as a pregnant entity. So how do I view the mother and the fetus inside as one entity or two separate entities? A classic and basic machlokas that takes place throughout Shas. In Temura now, this is the second time we're debating this issue. This was already discussed back in Daf Yud, and now we're discussing it again in Daf Chafei. It's a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Bar Pada. Rav Yochanan says, Uber lav yarchimohu. They are two separate entities. And Bar Pada says, no, Uber yarchimohu. And so within that discussion now, so we can entertain the statement of Rav Yochanan, who says that if I'm makdish echatas, that's pregnant, so I'm really being makdish two chatos at the same time. And like we learned in yesterday's daf, this is la'achrayus, and I could use either one that I want. And then the Gemara went and explored the position of Yochanan, a defensible position, one that goes against some brises, admittedly. The Gemara also discussed Rav Yochanan in the context of freeing a pregnant slave, a pregnant shivcha. How would that work according to Rav Yochanan? So all these details were discussed in the course of today's daf.